Great to have you here. Welcome, Tara.
Thanks for having me.
Martin Luther was a 33-year-old German friar when he started this religious revolution. Who was he when he split the 1,000-year-old Roman Catholic Church, when he began this movement?
So when the Reformation began, Martin Luther was actually a professor at the University of Wittenberg. He was also an Augustinian monk. As a young man, he was supposed to go to law school, but he had an experience in a lightning storm where he vowed he would dedicate himself to the church, and so he did instead. So he's both a scholar as a professor at the university, a theologian, but also, a monk and a preacher as well.
What was it about the times in Germany that made things ripe for Luther's message?
So there had already been, one of the things about the Reformation is we tend to focus so much on Luther, but there had, of course, already been decades and centuries of kind of religious foment, if you will. In Bohemia, there had already been a split with the Catholic Church in the Hussite Rebellion and establishing a separate church. But, so there was sort of in the air, in a sense, and it's important to recognize that Luther was very much part of that, as well as someone with his own voice and his own addition, obviously an important one.
Now, some recent scholarship has questioned some of the myths that surround Luther. For instance, did he really nail the 95 thesis to the church door?
So that's something we don't actually know. That mostly is a myth that really flourished in the 19th century, in part because it, really gives us this image of Luther as a kind of decisive man of conviction, who was so infuriated by what he saw that he literally had to pound these ideas into the church door. We don't know whether he did that or not. He did write the 95 Theses and he circulated them in a letter. If he did nail them to the church door, that wouldn't have been very remarkable. That was kind of a bulletin board, if you will. So he may or may not have done it, but it makes a good story.
What was it about the relationship between the ruled and their rulers that fueled Luther? It seems like this was more than just about corruption and the sale of indulgences in the Roman Catholic Church.
Absolutely. And that is one of the things that made Luther's critique into the Reformation and into a new movement and ultimately a new church. German rulers in this period saw an opportunity in supporting Luther. So their power was sort of split between local political authority and the authority of the church from Rome. And they saw in this an opportunity to kind of split that power and take control for themselves. There was also an opportunity for some economic advantage in closing down the monasteries and so on, for example. So one of the things that really made Luther successful is that he was able to get the princes on his side.
So this was about politics also and social relations and economics.
Absolutely.
And not just theology.
Absolutely. And it's the intertwining of all of those things that makes this so interesting and so powerful and so difficult for us to sort of disentangle today. It makes it something we can still argue about why it happened.
Now, what was the role of the printing press, which, of course, Gutenberg had invented in the 15th century, in spreading Luther's themes? Looking back, it seems as if the printing press was as crucial to communication in Luther's era as the internet is in our own.
Right. So the printing press had been around for a number of decades, but it was really this new technology. And one of the astounding things about this is the way in which Luther's theses, for example, and his other writings were immediately printed and circulated widely. And that's what turned this from a kind of local, theological dispute in Latin at a very new university in Wittenberg into a German and ultimately European and worldwide kind of conversation. Luther wrote partly in Latin and partly in German, and writing in German and then printing that and circulating, these theological ideas was itself incredibly radical.
It brings the message out to the public, to the common person, doesn't it?
Exactly. And saying that, your average city dweller in 16th century Germany might want to participate in that debate was itself a hugely, radical act.
Because it takes it out of religion and out of the academy.
Exactly. Exactly.
Now, Luther was quite an anti-Semite. And years later, some scholars look back. We know what happened in Germany and the Holocaust. That Luther kind of sets the template for some of that. True, false, or something in between?
Probably something in between. In some sense, he was a man of his time. I mean, certainly the status of Jews was something that was contested in 16th century Germany. Not all rulers allowed Jews to live in their territories. It went back and forth. forth. So in that sense, he was sort of a man of his time. But certainly in looking back, knowing the history of Germany that we know now, that is a crucial moment, given Luther's role in, you know, the kind of establishment of German modernity. It's hard not to notice that anti-Semitism was absolutely a part of that from the beginning.
And obviously, Luther is pointed to as someone who, in the Western world, starts the path towards the modern world, what we know today. Mm-hmm. And how does the Reformation resonate today, do you feel, Professor?
I think one of the kind of counterintuitive things about the Reformation, and a paradox, is that in some ways I think the Reformation led to a kind of secularism in modernity. For Luther, there was so much at stake for him, and for the rulers who supported him, this kind of intertwining of politics and economics and social life with religion that we talked about meant that there was so much pressure on religious confession and whether you were a supporter or not. That after several centuries of religious warfare, in a sense, states began to back off a little bit from that, and religion begins to kind of recede from this close relationship it had with the state to something ultimately today that's a bit more private and personal. That's certainly not Luther's intention, but it is, one could argue, one of the unintended consequences of the Reformation.
Thank you so much, Professor Numedal, for coming in today.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.